It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin.
All right, let's get to Stephen here. Stephen Hill doing the break. We appreciate it. He wants to talk to the Texans as well, I believe. What's up, Stephen? Ugh. Light's too bright again. Stephen hung up. Tough. Since Stephen won't join us here, let's hear from D'Amico Ryans. Did not get to any sound from the head coach. So he was asked a question about, maybe that's Stephen again. He was asked a question about making plays. So it was a lot that happened last night. And when you're 0-2 and people expect a lot of you, there's going to begin to have some conversations about what you're doing out there. And D'Amico Ryans simply said, hey, there are plays to be made and we didn't make them. Here's D'Amico Ryans on how the Texans fell to 0-2.
Near the goal line, what were the problems there on that drive?
Yeah, we tried to run the ball in. We got knocked back there, couldn't get the ball in, and we tried to, you know, find Nico there a couple times to get the ball, and we didn't connect, right? We didn't make the plays we needed to make, and that's the summation of this game, right? NFL is about, it's going to come down to a two-minute drive in the fourth quarter. Are you making plays or not? Like, a lot of guys gave us a chance, right, to win that game. Special teams played outstanding, all right, blocking the kick, getting an explosive return, forcing a missed field goal. So it's guys showed up and made plays to give us an opportunity. Now how do you capitalize on that, right? How do you put a team away? You let a good team like this stick around for too long is what we did, and they ended up making a play there. Baker scrambling on fourth down, which we knew that's who he is. That's how he make the plays, is scrambling. He made a big-time play on 4th and 10. You know, we got to find a way to tackle and get him down and stop him there even on the goal line. We're in position to make a tackle. We got to knock the guy back and make a tackle to win the game. That's what the game comes down to. We had multiple opportunities to win that game, and we didn't make the plays we needed to make.
Al-Shaair and Toto were there to make that play on Rashad White, and they had no chance. I don't know if I can give them credit for forcing a field goal miss. Like, unless you block it, isn't that just saying you have, like, the same thing as saying you have good free throw defense? I mean, you didn't really make the kicker miss it. He just hit the upright. I mean, there was no pressure there. Look, you blocked the punt, of course. Give him credit for that. They returned that kick from Noel.
Yeah. And Noel had other returns.
Yes,
for
they were good there. Yeah. But I'm not going to give you forced the field goal miss.
Block.
You didn't touch it. The guy forced just it's the same as saying,
you didn't leverage either, so...
Yeah. That's true. You did not give them another opportunity, unlike the Broncos did. So I will give them credit for not getting penalized on that, as opposed to all the other times they gave up first downs because of penalties. The Stingley one was soft. That wasn't enough.
Stingley one was bad. But I was trying to keep track throughout the game. And like in week one where we said most of them were offense or offensive procedural penalties. This week was mostly defense.
It was mostly
illegal hands to the face or
grabbing the helmet, yeah. Opening all that turned it, that called a face mask. Yeah, you had was it Horton with the hands to the face?
On the hands to the face, yeah. On a third down.
Yeah, yeah.
Stingley, the soft one that we
legal
talked about.
Legal contact. Yeah. I think you got caught with as well.
Yeah.
To give up a first down.
So it was more on the defense.
Yeah, you could call those the ones we wanted to excuse and say at least those are effort plays. Unfortunately, when your margin for error is so small, even the effort ones where you go, you know what, yeah, we guys are just trying hard, you can't have those. And it helped them to lose that game. We'll hear more from D'Amico, but first let's talk to Eric. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys, great show. I didn't know the Texans were wearing their throwback uniforms of 2002. Also, how embarrassing, losing to that big doucher, Baker Mayfield, who called the Longhorns in UT the armpit of Texas. And, Sean, are you worried about Archie Manning? He's missing a lot of throws. Yeah, and in honor of crying Willie P, Yabba Dabba Duke, Sean, baby.
It's just what it do, baby.
Just very, very negative energy. Yeah, from here. He really took this loss hard.
I don't think he took it hard at all. He's a Cowboys fan. Didn't take it hard at all.
Well, then they weren't throwing their wearing their throwbacks to 2002. They won that game.
And, you know, they wore blue pants, too, if we're just being honest. It was an all-white game for the Texans.
Those guys are winners.
Yeah, at least
they started 1-0.
At least on opening day they were. The rest of the season, not so much. But,
well, hey, listen.
So what did tough. He start? What did he go with? Did the Texans and the throwbacks? Okay, we addressed that.
I'm not worried about the 70-year-old.
Yeah, you're not
grandpa
worried about Archie Manning at all,
no.
Are you?
No. Oh, you know, it's getting up there. A little worried about him.
Yeah, Robert Redford just passed away.
Yeah,
Archie's not as old as that, but yes. 89 years old to Robert Redford.
Yeah, but Robert Redford didn't play behind those Saints offensive lines, so.
Life expectancy has dropped. Well, I can't speak to what Robert Redford was doing in the 70s.
That's true.
But that there's
making movies, mostly.
Yeah, but Hollywood.
Some other stuff.
Hollywood in the 70s, I don't know what he was on or if he was on anything, but there's a possibility. But he still lived to his late 80s. But yes, the life expectancy of Archie running around behind those Saints offensive lines, probably wasn't helped by that. Hopefully Archie lives lived a long life, but a longer life.
I hope he sees his grandson get drafted.
And frankly, maybe he needs to be the quarterback coach for his grandson, because whatever Sark's doing ain't working. I asked you this during the break, and I think we talked about it early. We're not going to spend much time on Archie. We could do that tomorrow. Like, Sark is... He gets criticized for play calling, inability to score in goal to go situations, yeah. All the things that have
hat tip talked to about. Nick Cayley. Thank you for honoring Steve Sarkisian last night.
All that stuff. But he's the quarterback guy, right? Or is he just the offensive guy?
They have a quarterback.
No, not quarterback coach, but is he considered a quarterback developer or just an offensive play caller type?
I don't think he really gets hit with the quarterback developer because he doesn't really have like the actual pelts on his wall for that. Because it wasn't Locker when he was at Washington. It was the guy after Locker in Washington. So it
was he and
USC when he was
and
the
Peterson
head coach.
Had Browning.
Yeah.
Who's now the starter for the Bengals, amazingly enough. So he didn't get credit for that. Was he the quarterback coach at any point when he was at USC?
He might have. He was on the staff with Leinart and them.
So he was on the staff in 05 and 06. So he was a quarterback coach in 05, but Leinart was fully developed by 05.
Yeah, he'd already won a Heisman in 05.
07, 08, that's the Barkley teams, I think. Matt Barkley, I think, followed them. Or was it Sanchez?
There's a John David Booty somewhere in there.
So maybe doesn't have the tag as quarterback coach. But
Mac Jones.
In 1920, it was Tua and Mac Jones, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know if he gets credit.
Hey, they put up numbers.
Don't know if
last
he gets
week.
Credit for Tua.
They
but
put
maybe
up numbers last
credit
week.
For Mac Jones in 2020 because he was his quarterback coach and OC. So I don't know if he's expressly the quarterback guy, but he's the OC.
Yeah.
And
well, the thing is, the Arch Manning thing, all evidence points to that this is a mental thing or an injury because the way he's throwing the ball now is different. And there's no way that Sarkisian was like, hey, watch this. Have you tried doing like this? Right at his ankle. Throw it right there.
Well, it's his job to fix it, Sean.
Yeah, no. But I think that it is... I think it's an Arch Manning mental
You're probably
mental
right.
Thing.
We'll talk more about Arch tomorrow. Today is not Arch's day. I'm sure people in Austin have been talking about him for days and college football podcasts as well, but not today. We got text and stuff to get to. We'll go to break here. Jeff, I see you. Anyone else want to join us, you can. Sean, you might have to get in line one. Maybe the intern can't get in line 4. Yeah, we'll do that. Jeff, hold on. We'll get to you. We'll go to break here. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Contact Tax Relief Helpers for details and restrictions.
Attention, anyone that owes money to the IRS. Every day, your unpaid tax debt gets bigger and bigger from daily interest. The longer you wait, the more you will end up paying. If you owe $10,000 or more, now is the time to settle your debt before the IRS takes aggressive action, like taking your wages or property. A special toll-free number has been established so you can stop penalty fees, avoid liens, levies, or other hostile measures by the IRS. Call Tax Relief Helpers right now.
I got behind on my taxes and owed $48,000. I called and they got my bill lowered to just $3,500.
I owed $87,000 in taxes and it was scary.
I got the amount I owed down to just $3,500. I saved $83,500.
If you owe money to the IRS, don't wait another day. Your tax debt gets bigger and bigger from daily interest. Call right now before the IRS enforces liens, levies, or other aggressive measures. The call and consult are absolutely free. Call now.
Call 800-692-7009. 800-692-7009. That's 800-692-7009.
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
Progressive's Auto Quote Explorer lets you easily compare direct rates from different insurance companies so you can be confident you're getting the right one, even if it's not with Progressive. Way more confident than you were when you tried online gaming. Who knew 12-year-old boys could be so mean? And where did they learn to swear like that? 2 hours of losing to these underage trash talkers, and you're starting to question if maybe you really should stick to pickleball and other boomer stuff. So use Progressive's Auto Quote Explorer and be confident you're getting insurance that's right for you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's midnight in Houston, and Bob just can't sleep. The AC is broken, and he can't count the sheep. Don't worry, big man. You don't need to scream. We can fix your AC with the help of Air Team. They'll come to your place, fix it up without a trace. Trust the ultimate fan with the paint on his face.
Is your air conditioner not performing at a pro level? Call Air Team, H-Town's HVAC team. The best heating and air conditioning installation services. 713-936-5346 or visit airteamltd.com.
Your go-to source for all things Houston Texans is Swarmcast with Will Kunkel and Joe George. Listen Wednesday nights at 7 on ESPN 97.5 or on our YouTube channel, ESPN Houston. Brought to you by Blue Star Tequila. Smooth and always game ready.
If your business is growing and looking for working capital, funds to acquire a business or purchase equipment, Veritex Community Bank's lending team is standing by to help you navigate through the loan process. Visit veritexbank.com for more details. That's VERITEX bank.com. Member FDIC, subject to credit approval.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
We're taking calls, of course. Texans' reaction. They lose in almost a predictable fashion. Like, once the game is over, you're like, okay, they lost that way. Got it. Like, in the game, you're in it. You're like, I can't believe this is happening. And then once you pull back, you're like, this is how they lose a lot of their ball games.
It was something where when they gave the ball back to Baker Mayfield with 2:10 or so left, I was like, oh, this is still a lot of time. Three timeouts. Like, they're going to actually have to get a stop. Like, they're going to have to either turn them over or get a...
Yeah, time's not just going to run out.
Yeah. So that there was like a... I've kind of seen this before.
And I said before the show, the disclaimer, that this show understands that it's only the first 2 weeks of the season. So any of our reactions, any of our discussions is with that in mind.
But yes. Nick Haley could be going through growing pains as a rookie play caller.
I just want to throw that caveat out because I don't want to have to say it after everything we say. But Nick Haley feels a lot like Bobby Slowick as far as the results and what we're seeing on the field, which may mean this is more institutional as opposed to just swapping out play callers and O-line coaches. And institutional means your head coach, which is a foundational piece of the franchise, your GM, another one, and your quarterback. But once again, this week too.
Yeah. All right. They got two division games coming up.
Yes. They can change their fortunes pretty quickly. The problem is you go into Jacksonville. Not that that's a scary place to play. You're too even with the Jags. Like, that game is another one that could go anyway.
I'm pretty sure the Jags are favored.
I'm not surprised. But the thought of going in there and knowing that it's a coin flip when you're supposed to be the cleared front runner for this division is a problem. You have not really distanced yourself from a couple organizations in major flux. Like, the Jags got a new head coach. They got a lot of new pieces coming together, and one piece that's been around a while who take him or leave him. I'm not sure how good Trevor Lawrence is. And, of course, the Colts are doing things to keep their jobs. At least that was the narrative. Oh, they're playing Daniel Jones because there's too much of a fluctuation between the highs and the lows of Anthony Richardson, and that's a team looking for a settling force of all things, of all people. They're looking at Daniel Jones for that, but still, that was the narrative. Daniel Jones is at least in the Colts' eyes, he has a higher floor than Anthony Richardson, and Anthony Richardson is someone who can't be trusted, and the Colts have just become a team who you can't force to punt through 2 weeks. So despite the preconceived notions about how this division would go, certainly the Colts' ascendance and the Texans not winning a game in the first two has maybe changed some people's thoughts. But like Sean said, you got a couple division games that can flip that pretty quickly. Let's get to Dave here. He wants to talk Texans. What's up, Dave?
Hey, good morning, Joe. I've been listening to a lot of the programming this morning, listening to Lance go on about the linebackers and some of the callers that have called in talk about the linebackers. I want to say this, you know, in watching the Texans, it seems to me that, you know, Nico overvalues hard hits to the point where I think his players know that that's what he really wants to see is more than anything. That's what really pleases him. And so you got guys like Al Shaair and Toa Toa, and they're just out there headhunting a lot of times and just trying to put a real lick on somebody. And it's almost like the fundamental play is secondary to putting a hard lick on someone. And, you know, you go back to the Rams game, there was a play where Toa Toa hit Puka Nacua as he was already being tackled from behind, kind of a cheap shot almost. And then you go back last year to the Trevor Lawrence play with Al Shaair. The Texans are borderline dirty, but they also are just like, they're just headhunting too much and sacrificing the fundamental play, at least that linebacker. And I think it's part of the culture that D'Amico has created there. I just wonder what you think.
Thank you. I appreciate it. There is something to that. They want to be aggressive as hell. They value that part. That's kind of where Swarm takes part in their philosophy, where they want to punish you. He went out and got guys who like to do that. I don't know if he did it while being willing to sacrifice just getting guys on the ground, but it comes out far too often. When we look at this team and you laid it out there, and it's been a thing where, yeah, if you hit a guy and put him on the ground, it's supposed to fire up the team because you hit him hard. And that's an imposing play, and it's supposed to set a tone, and it gets everyone in the mindset that we are here to be as physical as possible. But in some instances, it's not worth it, particularly on some of the long explosive plays that the Bucs had because of their ability to break tackles, or even not break a tackle, just withstand the body blow that a Texan threw at them because they weren't wrapping up. You would think, after watching the film and watching how unsuccessful that has been, that would go away, because Al Shaair, big hitter, whether you want to call him dirty or not, that's certainly up for debate. Toa Toa, I don't think known as a big hitter, but he has tried to incorporate that in his game. I was just like you to tackle a guy. I don't care if the crowd goes, ooh, once you knock a guy on the ground or you stand over him or stuff. Because I don't know that the Texans, other than Trevor Lawrence, have knocked a lot of guys out of games with their philosophy. Like, do guys leave games and not come back? They're not like that Eagles team. It was way back in the 90s where the Eagles, like, knocked out, like, three quarterbacks in the same game. I think it was the Eagles. It was some NFC team. Don't remember exactly. They're not, like, taking guys out for games when they do this. Guys just get up and go, huh, okay, next play. So if you're not even – doing enough to knock a guy out of a game. Not that I'm saying it's bounty stuff, but if your philosophy is intimidate with your physicality, I mean, I would rather you just get the guy on the ground.
Just tackle him.
Like, if you don't knock out Bucky Irving and he gets up from whatever body blow you throw at him, just wrap him up, man. You know what? Save. Instead of him going for 8 yards, maybe he only goes for 4. And maybe that turns a third and short into a third and medium, and now your pass rushers can do their thing. Yeah. That's all.
It does feel like it's the relentless mindset part of Swarm.
Yes.
Because that is like the Swarm. Swarm does incorporate, rally to the ball. And it's just naturally when a runner is getting tied up by one defender that the second defender will go in there and try to lay the wood. That's just what happens. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of...
That's fine.
Poor fundamental...
But let the first guy wrap him up. And then if you want to try to...
A lot of times the first guy's also trying to.
I need one... Let's have a plan in place.
Be on football's hardest hits highlights.
Yeah, the first guy, hold him up. And then if the next guy wants to try to knock him out of the game or whatever the intent of the physicality is, I'm good. But let's make sure his feet have stopped moving. He's not gonna break a tackle. He's not gonna turn a 5 yard gain into a 15 yarder because you can't get him on the ground.
Yeah, the only person that this I think would work on is, ironically enough, the person that they play this week, Brian Thomas Jr. Obviously does not want to get hit.
If we watch what he was on against the Bengals.
So if you put one or two hits together, Brian Thomas might be like, ooh, these guys seem serious.
Now, while the receiver having alligator arms is a thing people will criticize, he's got to make the plays, hanging his quarterback out to dry. I will say it again, like I said yesterday. For what? For who? Trevor Lawrence? I'm not getting concussed for Trevor Lawrence. I ain't got paid yet. He got his money. You're not throwing me into the middle of the field for hard hits just because you like throwing medicine balls or hospital balls. Excuse me. I'm not the guy for that. I ain't got paid yet. Sorry.
Yeah.
Your success is off the back of me anyway. If I'm not healthy, you are going to be trash in this offense, Trevor Lawrence. So stop throwing me into spots where I got to make business decisions because I ain't got my business done yet.
Yeah.
That would be me.
He's like, hey. Listen, I'm not doing all the Christian Kirk stuff here, all right?
Exactly.
I'm not doing that.
Hey, isn't there like a Parker Washington out there? Is he still on the roster? Let him go over the middle of the field. I'm your big play guy. You can't run me into safeties and linebackers.
But the footage.
It's ugly.
It's so bad.
Yes. And then when you drop a ball, when they're going forward and fourth down, you don't. And
he's like putting his head up like as he's going up for the ball. It's so funny.
Yeah. We'll see if Brian Thomas gets over. It's been a couple weeks for the Jags. While they won week one and lost week two, where the quarterback was a problem, missing Brian Thomas in week one. Liam Cohen made mention of it in his postgame presser in week one about how Brian Thomas was open here and we missed him, was open here and we missed him. This week, when asked about Thomas's performance, he was like, I got to look at the film. He's not going to like what he sees on the film.
No. That the film is the worst possible look.
Yeah, he was also hitting his chest, yelling at Trevor Lawrence about throw the ball at guys' chest.
Hit him in the chest.
Yeah. So Trevor Lawrence has some of that in him, too, where he's asking guys to extend in spots where if they do extend their arms and open up the chest, they're going to take one. Sorry, I'm siding with the receiver. It's Trevor Lawrence. I ain't getting blown up because of you. What are we doing here?
But good matchup for...
Yes.
For Henry Toa'atoa.
If you're looking for a guy who may be affected by the Texan style of play, you got him coming up this week in Brian Thomas Jr. He may not have any interest in making his money over the middle of the field.
Not this week.
No.
Not this week.
Probably not any week, apparently. I don't know who the Bengals hard hitters are, but he wanted nothing to do with them either. So the Texans are really going to be a team who he wants to avoid coming into contact with. He's like, hey, I know Stingley's on the outside. You want to keep throwing go balls?
Yeah. Hey.
I mean, I'll make a play or two.
Out route.
Yeah, something like that. Perimeter stuff, like Mike Evans. Mike Evans a couple times.
Run a hitch.
Evans did make a play over the middle to get him a first down to set him up to win the game.
Yeah, but that's
late in the game. And I'll make a play.
It's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Also, it's like minutes ago in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Maybe even Brian Thomas would do that.
Maybe.
But
I don't know.
8 minutes to go in the second quarter? Nah.
Against Jake Browning? Defense got us.
Yeah. Brian Thomas Jr. is like, I got 15 more of these to go. I ain't getting knocked out of a game this early. So we'll see if the Texans can intimidate Travis Hunter and Brian Thomas Jr.
And Trevor Lawrence, you know?
That's true. It is that matchup.
Return of going back to the scene of the crime.
Back in Jacksonville, Azeez Ausher, I'm sure. I don't know how you like boo a player specifically, because maybe the Texans will get introduced warm-up wise. I mean, once they run out, and maybe they'll introduce their defense. Yeah. Or do they even do that on the road?
I don't think they do that on the road.
So I'm not sure how you specifically boo Azeez Ausher as a Jag fan.
Yeah, because it's not like he gets the ball and you boo, like in basketball.
Maybe if he celebrates a play, you boo him in that way.
Yeah. But then also people would be like, are they booing Trevor Lawrence for taking a sack there? Or
it's very possible.
Are they booing because he's Australian?
Yeah, I'm not interested this week in the think pieces about that incident from last year and how some people think Azeez Ausher was improperly positioned by J.C. Treader in the league. When you're 0-2, I don't want to hear about the side quest stuff how he was not the type of man they made him out to be. You know what? I don't care how they painted you. Just tackle people.
Yeah, I'm sure whoever, Archuleta and Spiriditas will
mention it from inside the house.
I'm just talking about on Sunday. They're definitely going to show it, and they're going to have what I imagine will be the CBS C team talk about it.
Yeah, we'll see.
I can't imagine this is an Iron Eagle game.
Yeah. Well, the Bills aren't available to send one of the A or B team too, because they got to play on Thursday. So who knows? So the Bills off the queue, so you may get elevated up because they don't have one of their glamour teams to send one of their best teams. So you may get an Iron Eagle. It's 0-2 Texans, desperate. If we start to look at
they also have Rams Eagles. Oh no, wait, that's on Fox. Never.
Yeah, you never know. What are the Chiefs doing? Who are they playing?
Chiefs Sunday night.
See another team out the way. Who are the Ravens playing?
So Broncos Chargers probably going to get.
Yeah, they may get them. They may get Nance and Romo.
Yeah, and Titans Colts.
No.
Steelers Patriots.
Yeah, maybe.
Bengals Vikings. Texans Jags. That's a CBS noon slate.
Well, with no J.J. McCarthy, Carson Wentz versus Jake Browning. Yeah, I don't think they're sending Romo and Nance there. Don't think that's happening.
Okay, so maybe it is.
There's a chance you get an Iron Eagle game with CJ against Trevor Lawrence,
or if we're lucky, Kevin Harlan.
That'd be great.
2 out of 3 weeks, Kevin Harlan. What a way to start the season.
Stuff.
Enjoy it.
Kevin Harlan's like,
enjoy it, because if they spend much more time 0-2 or 1-3,
we've learned Spiro Dede's already. We'll
I
have
am familiar
to
with
them.
Andrew Catalan's game.
Yeah, we'll relearn Spiro Dede's if this continues. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll talk some Astros when we come back, because they did win, but they may have lost Yordan for longer than anyone would have wanted. In a play which has several layers, like he ran through a stop sign. Why is he turning his ankle on home plate unobstructed? There's a lot there. Somehow Yordan found a way on what should have been just, an easy run scored to May. Possibly miss the rest of the regular season, if not longer. We'll see what the MRI says. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Attention taxpayers, if you owe $5,000 or more and have missed another tax deadline, you're officially on the IRS's radar. The IRS has resumed aggressive collections. That means wage garnishments, bank levies, even seizures of your home, car, or retirement accounts. If you owe $5,000 or more and missed the deadline, you're stacking new debt on top of what you already owe. Call Priority Tax Relief now. Their experts fight back fast and are saving their clients millions in tax debt every month.
I owed over $50,000. And they settled it for pennies on the dollar. These guys are as legit as they come.
After speaking on my behalf with the IRS, my entire debt of $25,000 will be eliminated.
Whether you've received collection letters or you're already facing liens and garnishments, call for your free consultation. There are no upfront fees. Priority Tax Relief. Let's make your taxes our priority. Call 800-860-6195. 800-860-6195. 800-860-6195.
Priority Tax.
Collectors Firearms. Don't let the name fool you. We have new guns too. With 12,000 new and pre-owned guns in
stock, we have the largest selection in the country. Got a dirty gun? We'll clean it free while you wait. With over 50 years of experience, our expert staff help both seasoned collectors and first-time owners. From tactical firearms to historical rifles, modern handguns to vintage classics, visit us at Westheimer and Voss or online at collectorsfirearms.com. Collector's Firearms, the best damn gun shop in the world.
I just bought another house for cash. Sell me yours at greenlightoffer.com.
Let's hydrate. Grab a Rambler Sparkling Water, the official sparkling water of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A Texas mineral blend available in original lemon lime, grapefruit, satsuma, blackberry, and now wild cherry. Get rambling, Houston.
Okay, Texas, pop quiz. True or false? Walmart has more than half a billion items online. True. Find a huge selection online that you can't find in stores. True or false? Groceries always cost more when they're delivered. False. Walmart's grocery prices are the same for delivery as they are in store. Last one. Walmart can deliver in as fast as an hour. True, y'all. Use express delivery to get eligible items to your doorstep before the pool party starts. Walmart. Who knew? Subject to availability. Fees and restrictions apply.
Chances are, if you've been to a few weddings, corporate events, rodeo committee gatherings, or charity dinners over the years, you've enjoyed Damaris Catering.
Yanni Damaris here. Most people know Damaris Barbecue. Our family's been at it since 1964. Well, Damaris Catering has been around since the early 70s. We do events from 20 people to 5,000, serving a variety of cuisines to cater at any event.
From no tie to bow tie, it's taken care of. Damaris Catering. Find them at Damaris.com.
Houston is Soccer City USA, and World Cup 2026 is coming our way. Join me, Glenn Davis, every Tuesday and Wednesday, 6 Central Time, for Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea and his intrepid, most outstanding, arguably the greatest producer of all time, the one and only Sean Mapes.
The greatest producer, or arguably the greatest producer of all time, is also a host. He hosted yesterday with Jeremy at Crawfish Cafe. From what I could tell, when I was trying to fire off some emails, he's going to be hosting in due time as well. So more Sean Mapes with his arch propaganda.
Oh, not propaganda.
It is now. If you go by the off-season propaganda compared to the results, it's definitely propaganda.
What, me saying he has mental problems? That's propaganda?
No, your off-season talk.
Oh, well, you won't get any more of that. Yeah, well, also, my off-season talk was pretty measured.
You and Paul Feinbaum, I was ranking you one and two as far as biggest hype, okay. Hypers of Arch. All right. Once again, we'll talk more about...
Just coming from Tuanon over here.
I don't mention... When do I mention... What?
Yeah, not anymore, you don't.
Never, actually. You never had... You don't have evidence
you defend,
of me.
You defended Tua a lot last year.
No, I didn't. How so?
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't, actually. I tried to avoid that mess in Miami as much as I could. People would bring it up because they know I'm a fan, and then we would talk about it. But I didn't come on. You know what? Damn it! He plays great in Buffalo. I don't think I ever did any of that. He does, by the way. We'll see. They just don't get stops.
And what about against Bill Belichick?
Well, yeah, he's undefeated, but that's true. That's not propaganda. It's actually true. He did note... When people ask him about his record against the Patriots, he goes, well, I've never beaten Mike Vrabel. Well, that's continuing.
Yeah.
So he is self-aware. He's about to be aware of being 0-3 after Thursday night. But, all right, let's get to what happened with the Astros. They win. Zach Cole, one of the heroes, he came in because Yordan got hurt stepping on the plate. We don't have word on the extent of the injury, but he left in a walking boot, which is never great. I don't think it's something as dramatic as what happened to Joe Burrow, where now he's out for 3 months because he's got torn tendons, which is another reason turf toe is a improper way to describe that injury. He tore tendons in his foot. We probably shouldn't boil it down to turf toe. But don't know that Yordan has anything that bad. But when you have to leave the building in a boot and you got an MRI, and considering Yordan's history, he's not a quick healer. So, does he make it back before the regular season? That's a tough blow. Look, the lineup got it done last night. We know they're an inconsistent bunch. Altuve's in one of the worst slumps of his career. We had Yiner, I think, batting eighth last night. So we can start to question things. But, you know, there's a hierarchy in baseball. So Altuve being as poor as he's been is not going to lead him to being dropped probably below five or six in the lineup, even though the results suggest he should be. Losing Yordan, it's tough. Like, he had slowed down quite a bit since our last extensive conversation about him being one of the best hitters and currently going in baseball. But you just want him around. You want to be at full strength, as you have to win ball games. You won last night. The Mariners did not play, so you're a half game behind them for first. You've extended your lead over the Rangers for that wild card spot, but you put yourself in a spot where not every game's a must win, but losing games the way the Mariners are playing puts you at a real disadvantage. But the other side is they got to lose at some point, right? The Mariners aren't going to win every game the rest of the way. So last night was a good start, and hopefully after a day off, they slow down a little bit. And then once you see them this upcoming weekend, you're not only looking at a chance to take over the division lead, maybe you already have it by the time you see them. Of course, this Rangers series will determine a lot of that. So, Sean, you can use the soundbite to answer this question. We had the Jeremy Peña error that helped shade what could have been a better start for Jason Alexander. They did win another game that he started, though. But take the performance into account, not getting through five. Is he our hero? Jason Alexander, another start, another Astros win.
Win's a win.
Another Astros win. He did enough to keep them in the ball game, and they won when he's on the mound. So is that the what?
For Jason Alexander, that's all that matters.
So that's the standard for certainly Jason Alexander.
Yeah.
Just win. You pitch.
That's honestly the standard for everyone now.
At this point, find a way to win a ball game.
Just like, who's above just win the ball game?
Well, Hunter Brown probably, because he's an ace. But the rest of them?
Literally everyone else. Just win. Just
go out there.
Don't lose.
And don't be so bad that the team has no chance of winning.
Yes. To win, you first must not lose.
Yes.
Don't lose.
Don't lose the ball game. Even if they're even. You know what they say? If he's even, he's leaving. So I need the Astros starters to keep the team even, and then maybe they can scratch across a run, one run or two to win the game. So Jason Alexander goes 4 2/3, gives up the three runs. Only one of them earned, thanks to Jeremy Peña and his hijinks. But he did enough, thanks to O'Kurt, and all of a sudden, Jaden Murray, a key member of this Astros team, only came in, he got a crucial out, gave up two hits, but he found a way to avoid giving up a run. And, of course, Brian King came in and helped out Jaden Murray. And then Abreu made it interesting, but got it done. So you win 6-3. You're actually better with runners in scoring position than you regularly are. You're 3 out of 7 with runners in scoring position, only left the three men on base, partly because you only had six hits. So there's some give and take there. If they had more hits, they probably would have left more in scoring position. But we don't got to point that out, although I just did. They found a way. And shout out to Jesus Sanchez, because he was awful last week playing defense. He did throw a guy out from left field, part of the maneuvering with Yordan getting hurt. He was out there to throw out a very slow runner, but he got him, which kept the Astros in the lead, and they went on to win 6-3. All you got to do is, we'll take the win. That's all. Just take the win. Astros won 6-3. Tonight, you got Blue Ball on the mound. AJ Blue Ball on the mound. He'll start for the Astros as they try to continue to gain ground on the Mariners and also distance themselves from the Texas Rangers. I don't want to have to deal with the Rangers. I don't need the final days of the season being Astros or Rangers. Who's in the playoffs? I don't want that.
This is why, like, this series to me is like more important. Just set the basement of how bad this can get by building a cushion against the Rangers. And if they win the division, that's fine. That's awesome. Whatever. I just don't need this turning out like, nope, they missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what this series is the safety net of, will you miss the playoffs?
Win this series, and I feel pretty good about them not missing the playoffs.
Yes, because, I mean, honestly, like, hosting the wild card series versus going on the road for the wild card series.
It didn't matter so much last year.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Figure that out.
Yeah. Seems like, particularly with this team, matchups will be very important.
Hunter Brown, game one. Framber Valdez, game two. That way we can save Jason Alexander
for game three.
For the all important game three. We don't want Framber going out.
What if Hunter
there?
Brown loses game one? Do you want Framber out there or you want Jason Alexander out there?
Don't lose.
Okay, that's my answer.
Just don't lose.
Let's get the Dennis here. Okay, Keith's up there, but he's not on hold. The name's up there, but he's not on hold. Let's get the Dennis, and then we'll go to break. Dennis wants to talk some Astros. What's up, Dennis?
Hey, Dale, Sean, you hear me?
Your name's not Dennis, but go ahead.
My name is Dennis.
Is it? It sounds like Ryan LaRosa.
No.
Go ahead, Dennis.
No, this is not La Salsa. Yeah. I'm calling real quick, a couple of things. So I wanted to point out, I think that Zach Cole probably has helped the Astros score more runs in the last four games than they've scored all month. So, pat on the back for him. And then I got to follow the money with Framber.
Okay.
So I think Framber actually doesn't want the bag. He's trying to throw the bag away, and he's afraid of leaving the only team he's ever been at, the Astros. So he's, performing like crap out there on the mound, and nobody's going to give him the bag. So he's forced his hand, and he's going to be stuck with the Astros next year. What do you guys think?
The follow the money one is interesting. It's a throwback to when Raheel was part of the station. Appreciate that. The reminder, even if it was not on purpose. So the question for me is, why is he being a malcontent off the field? Like, sure, you want to throw away the bag by not pitching well because you're desperate to play with the Astros and you'll take any deal you find reasonable. Why are you being a guy who apparently is causing issues? The Salazar thing. After games, talking about how an outfielder should be an outfielder or a right fielder should be a right fielder. That doesn't ingratiate you with the team you want to stay with. So I appreciate the thought. But yeah. Also, pitching poorly in a pennant chase doesn't make the team feel good about you either. You're working your way towards winning the division, and your performance is actually hurting the chances of winning that division. I don't know if that helps either. If the Astros had enough leeway to deal with Framber's nonsense and he's pitching poorly, but he's not mouthing off and he's just being a good soldier, but pitching poorly, I would buy more into your theory. Although I don't believe Framber is the type to not perform well to make less money. Doesn't feel like he's that guy. If I go by his comments, but the Astros aren't going to love what he's doing either.
Yeah, you could just pitch well and take a small deal. You could just pitch well.
Sean has kind of broken apart your little theory, Dennis. There's nothing that forces Framber to take as much money as possible if he really wanted to stay. That's where the term hometown discount comes from.
Yeah.
Framber could be on track to win a Cy Young, and when the Astros came calling, he's like, you know what?
Spend my whole career.
Love it here. Hey, he can pull the Altuve if he wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Altuve didn't tank a year so he could sign a extension.
While I appreciate it because it gave me something to work through in my own mind, Sean just broke apart your whole theory. He could be great.
It's not against the rules.
And take a discount. I mean, his agent may have been pissed, but he's that guy's boss.
Fire his agent.
He can always say, well, that's what Pena did because he knows he thinks he's got a big deal coming. But in this instance, you can tell your agent to eat it. I'm staying with the Astros. That's all. Pretty simple. Framber didn't have any problem talking and voicing his opinion. He could tell the agent, I want to stay here. I don't think tanking the deal.
Yeah. A right fielder should be a right fielder, and an agent should be an agent.
And I'm not sure you know this, but I pay you. So you do as I say. Yeah.
You want commission or not?
Yeah. I'm currently 18-4, and I'm your boss. So we'll take the deal the Astros are given. Unfortunately, he is not 18-4. He's far from it. And he has been a problem since the beginning of August.
Oh, no, bad problem.
Yeah, not a good problem.
People forget Framber Valdez was a problem. Although people are starting to forget that Framber Valdez at one point was a problem.
Yeah, for other teams.
Yes.
Now he's simply he's not a problem. He's a malcontent at this point.
Yeah, not a problem.
No.
Flames.
Oh, man, Framber's a real problem. That's what he is now. All right, appreciate it, Dennis. We appreciate the theory. We love to have fun. Sorry, Sean brought logic and broke it all apart.
Nah, just
how it is sometimes. Hey, sometimes you got a winner. Sometimes you got a banger. Sometimes you don't. Sean says, Dennis, no banger for you.
Yeah, try again next time.
Yeah. If you got a theory about why CJ Stroud is playing as poorly as he is, because he knows Mulligetta won't allow him to take a lesser deal, then bring that to the table. Because that one might be more believable, because I feel like Mulligetta is the boss of everyone, as opposed to CJ Stroud's
runs the league
subordinate. All right, we'll go to break with that. But first, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And we're talking Astros. We're talking about these big games against the Rangers. You can make a little money while you watch these games against the Rangers. Maybe you want to put a little reverse jinx in on some Rangers. You can build a Rangers lineup where you're taking more on Adolis Garcia, more on Merrill Kelly strikeouts. You can do that. Or you can ride with the hometown team. Go with more on Carlos Correa, runs, hits, RBI, 1.5. Go more, Yonner Diaz, hits, runs, RBIs, more than 1.5. You can do whatever you want on Prize Picks. And today is a Taco Tuesday. That means there's going to be discounted player projections throughout the day. So Paul Skeens, pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Ever heard of him? His projection for today's game against the Cubs is 7. Wrong, discounted because it's Taco Tuesday. It's down to 5.5 strikeouts today against Chicago. So wherever you want, it's good for football. It's good for MMA. It's good for golf. When golf comes back around, WNBA, whatever you want, it's on Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup using promo code MAPES on Prize Picks. Prize Picks, it's good to be right.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
This is Ron Insano with your market scoreboard report on ESPN 97.5.
After another upside day yesterday that included a record for the NASDAQ, stocks are quiet this morning. The Dow flat and the S&P and NASDAQ are just slightly higher in the early going as the Fed begins its two-day meeting on interest rates, delivering that decision tomorrow afternoon where it's widely expected to cut rates by a quarter point. Late yesterday, the Senate confirmed the head of the Council of Economic Advisors to fill temporarily an open Fed seat while not giving up his job at CEO. But taking a temporary unpaid leave. Meanwhile, an appeals court says Lisa Cook can stay on the Fed pending further litigation. The president trying to remove her for cause. The court said no. We have interest rates moving up just a bit, 4.04% on the 10-year note. The dollar a little weaker. Oil up 31 cents to $63.61 a barrel. Gold's up 10 bucks, right at $37.29 the ounce, flirting with record levels. European markets down across the board. Asia mostly higher in overnight trade. We'll get retail sales, industrial production, and factory use out this morning.
Contact Tax Relief Helpers for details and restrictions.
Attention, anyone that owes money to the IRS. Every day, your unpaid tax debt gets bigger and bigger from daily interest. The longer you wait, the more you will end up paying. If you owe $10,000 or more, now is the time to settle your debt before the IRS takes aggressive action, like taking your wages or property. A special toll-free number has been established so you can stop penalty fees, avoid liens, levies, or other hostile measures by the IRS. Call Tax Relief Helpers right now.
I got behind on my taxes and owed $48,000. I called and they got my bill lowered to just $3,500.
I owed $87,000 in taxes and it was scary. I got the amount I owed down to just $3,500. I saved $83,500.
If you owe money to the IRS, don't wait another day. Your tax debt gets bigger and bigger from daily interest. Call right now before the IRS enforces liens, levies, or other aggressive measures. The call and consult are absolutely free. Call now.
Call 800-692-7009. 800-692-7009. That's 800-692-7009.
Stand by. Cue announcer.
The Del Olalea Show. Weekday mornings from 10 to noon.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Sorry, Joe and I were commiserating about the Bears. You guys think you're pissed. Not great for Bears fans. All right, we're kind of done. Because Rich Eisen is up next. I'm sure it'll be a lot of conversation about, I don't know, the Jets, I guess. Isn't he a Jets fan?
He is a Jets fan, yeah. But...
It'll be national topics.
Yeah, they'll sneak in some
sure, they will talk Texans. Yeah, Monday night's a big thing. I'm sure it's their property, ESPN. I'm sure he'll talk about the Texans. So you'll get a different perspective on the Texans, and we'll see if... I don't know how national people are taking the Texans. In fact, I haven't seen much of them on First Take as I've been in here. I don't know if I've even seen a highlight from the game yet. They're focused on the Eagles and the Chiefs and the tush push.
Oh, that's a new conversation. Yeah. What do we think? Tush push.
Yeah,
good or bad?
Yeah, well, I would say this, since you asked, if you could, you know, eliminate the false starts and let it be a legal play, then I wouldn't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with the tush push, except for the fact that I'm watching this play over and over again on the goal line and the two guards get off before the snap. If you can officiate the play correctly, let it be a play. If you can't, because the officials want to wash their hands of it, get rid of it. All right, there's our tush-push conversation. Took 25 seconds. We're done. We're not done for the day because we do have Jeremy and Joe at 3. But up next is Rich Eisen. But since we're done for our show is done for the day at least, what's that mean, Sean? What happens when the Astros put Jason Alexander on the mound? They just win. Unlike the Raiders, considering that's their slogan last night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.